My name is Danny, and I'm an addict. I'd like to first thank the God of my understanding for, allowing me to be here alive. I would like to thank the Activities Committee, the Little Mountain Highland area, for inviting me, waking me up at 7:30 in the morning, driving down here 4 hours, right? It's all right, though, because I found out if I'm not willing to do those things, man, I'm going to lose what I got. My topic, the triangle self-obsession, right? I'm here. After she got up, and she asked me earlier, do we want to switch topics? And I was like, no, I got this one. But now I wish I would have had that one. I'm like, I can't follow up on that. How am I supposed to speak now? I'm under the care of, right? Care of. It was funny because she was touching on a lot of things that I can relate to through the triangle self-obsession, because they say we need to take more drugs. When I got here, either I was gonna take more drugs or I was gonna suffer the pain of withdrawal. I went to rehab, right? So I'm thinking of the little 28, 30 days that I was in rehab that I would get myself fixed, stop smoking the crack. And then my life would be all good, that I'll be happy, joyous, and free, like we like to say up in here. But what happened was, made the decision, because that ultimatum, either I go back, or I completely changed my old ways of thinking. So, I became open-minded enough to go to my first meeting. What happened was, I started suffering the pain of withdrawal. I remember in rehab them telling me that there was really no withdrawal from crack. But what I was talking about, the withdrawal was from using. Because I wanted to always use something outside myself to make me feel good. They told me I couldn't use any drug, anything. What happened was that what about weed? That comes from the earth. That's all right. If God wasn't telling me that I couldn't use that, he would not have made seeds that I could plant. Told me I couldn't use that. So as soon as I put the drugs down, I had the pain, that void that they talk about, that emptiness. I couldn't be whole. I'm walking around here with resentments from my past because I used to blame everyone and everything, like she was talking about. I didn't want to look at myself. My current situation and everything that I was going through, I looked at with anger, and I feared the future. What happened was that, I couldn't stay in that state for too long. What happened was I started picking up. I wasn't picking up drugs, but we talk about using. Because anything I use outside myself to make me feel better, to make me feel whole, is using to me. That's just my experience. What happened was I started using sex. I started using pornography. I started using y'all. I started using people, places, and things. I'm like, I don't have to use, like she was saying, I could go back out and hang out with my old friends. Using. It was horrible because, so unaware of how this disease was, I always just thought it was a drug problem. But, I went through two different sponsors because the first one that I got, is the buddy-buddy thing. The bandage, what she was talking about. But then, after that, I moved on to another one. And then when he was telling me about myself, I got angry and I got resentment. I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. I want to tell you how to sponsor me. And if you ain't following me, I'm going to leave you too. Because I already did it once. So it's just that much easy, right? So I continued going on this self-obsession, because what happened was that I was just fixated on making myself feel good. Damn you. Damn this program. I'm going to find a loophole in this program somehow that I could use something, because they tell me I'm an addict. And then once I came to believe that I am an addict, because they tell me I need to accept it. And the first step, it tells me acceptance goes beyond a conscious admission. So I can't just walk around here telling myself I'm an addict, right? I have to feel it. I have to feel it in my gut, right? I started feeling that stuff, I'm an addict, and that means that I'm prone to obsession and compulsion. So I'm going to find that loophole and use something that won't make my life as unmanageable as other things was. But what happened was that I started using that sex. I started using those people, trying to find a relationship to make me feel whole. And what happened was everything came crashing down again. I hit a bottom clean. I found myself kicked. I moved out of a recovery house. Moved in with this girl, right? You know, cheated on her. Ended up, she kicked me out. I had nowhere to go. Lost my job. My car's transmission blew out. You know, all this shit, right? And I'm trying to blame everyone and everything. And I was like, where are these people at? Where's this fellowship at that should provide me with a new car? A place to live? Where are you at? Where you at? I wanted to blame y'all because I was like, now that NA is here, you got my back. So I can go act out and do whatever I want to do. And when I hit bottom, y'all gonna, you know, cushion the blow. Cushion that pain that's so vital. Because I used to be angry in my active addiction. I used to be like, damn, you know, if the cop man was around the corner, damn it. If I didn't smoke that much crack, if I would never touch crack, I could have still been smoking weed. You know, all this shit that I used to get angry about, but I came to realize that, like, all that stuff was necessary. Even clean, all the pain, all the stuff that I went through was necessary in order for me to get the desire and the awareness to do something different. If there was no pain, I wouldn't have a motivation. You know, what happened was I hit that bottom, and I realized that at that point, that anger, that resentment, that fear is just going to lead me right back to using. I faced another ultimatum again. What happened was that either I continue blaming y'all, have those resentments, because what happened when I had a resentment, I wouldn't want to talk to you. Say you say something to me that didn't sit right with me, because look, I find that the truth will piss you off before it sets you free. Right? So if you ain't gonna tell, if you're telling me the truth, I'm gonna get angry at you. I ain't gonna talk to you. You know, which will make me angry in my situation now, which will lead the disease, you know, that tornado that goes on our head. The committee starts talking, right? And then I start fearing the future. I'm like, I'm not gonna be happy up here. I'm not cut out for this. I start separating myself. You know, I mean, the things that used to connect me with y'all, like those hangouts of despair, like the first step says, like, we know how it is to use. We know where our spirits visited every time we use. Every time I smoked that crack and I ended up throwing the frickin' stem away, right? Saying I'm not going to use no more. Until I got another $10. Shaking and shit. Praying God get this disease up off me and, like, you know, not having a choice. That's why, like, you know, I get a trip when people say my drug of choice is, right? I have a choice. Shit, after a while, it was just like maintenance. I couldn't live with or without drugs. They told me that stuff. They told me I couldn't use. They told me I can't use anything. They told me I need to surrender, right? I start getting angry, man. Angry, right? And I find out that anger is not really, like, for me, my personal stuff, anger to me is not really a feeling. It's just a combination of feelings that I can't identify. So then I label them under the umbrella that I'm angry. I won't have acceptance with myself. You know? I don't feel it in my gut that, like, I have to surrender. You know, I'm ashamed. I have that guilt. Active addiction, those visions that I get that I can't control. I have no power over my thinking or my feeling. Any given time, my mind takes me places that I don't give it permission to. So I want to get angry, right? Man. It was funny because it took me 13 months to finally get a sponsor that's going to dig in my ass, not baby me. And that was only through the pain, because I was like right there. I was like, oh, this ain't working out. You know what I mean? They told me freedom from active addiction is our only promise. I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to be promised a car, a loving relationship, some money. The things that I didn't get because, or the things that I lost because of active addiction. I wanted that stuff. You know, I'll get the freedom, you know what I mean? But that'll come later. But I wanted that stuff first. I was on a supposedly working a third step. You know, I used to think that working a step was writing it, reading it, sharing about it, and moving on. Right? And then when people would tell me, where's the application? I'll get angry with them. I'll be like, what you talking about? You ain't my sponsor. You know? So get with your sponsor first before you come to me. Right? What happened was that, like, my sponsor put me back on the first step. I was on that step for a year. I was like, sponsor, what's going on? Why ain't you moving me on, man? What's going on? Why I see these people with less clean time than I got, right? Because, like, you know, I thought that, like, I'm on a mountaintop now. You know, no pun to the name of the area. But, you know, like, I thought that I had arrived, you know, after I got my little year clean, you know, and the pink cloud was lifted. Reality set in. You know, so I was, like, in obsession, man. And, like, I didn't understand that I'm powerless over that stuff. More importantly, that it's natural for me to be an obsession and compulsion. It's natural for me as an addict to want to use. I was sitting up in meetings wanting to use. Drugs, sex, anything. You know, and not sharing about it. Because out of the shame and the guilt. Like, I shouldn't be there. You know, I got a year clean now. I shouldn't be there. Every time is there an addict who has a desire to use, I'll keep my hand, sit on them. I wouldn't want to share because I didn't want y'all thinking that I'm not recovering. You know, but like the pain of the reality is that we have a disease that at the end forces us to seek a power greater than us. Right? And I had to check myself with that because I was thinking that the power was always the higher power, right? But like at the end of the road, right, we find ourselves with a dilemma, right? It forces us to seek a power greater than ourselves. A disease has always been a power greater than me. Always. I remember trying to pray, like, you know, inactive addiction, $20, listening to Christian music, you know, like praying, like, God, I know the $20 are there, right? I know the $20 are there. I don't want to use it. I don't want to go out. It's 2:00 in the morning. And I know if I use those 2 bags, I won't go to sleep. I just want some rest. Please, God, take this up off me. And as soon as I let go of the prayer, the obsession kicked in. And without help, I picked up those $20 and went out. That was my biggest evidence of like that. This disease is always going to be a power greater than me. This disease has all the steps that I'll ever get, all the information that I'll ever need, right? It's progressive. Man, through acting out, right? I remember cheating on my girl and getting mad at her because she kicked me out. Like, you know what I mean? Cheating on her and telling, you know what I mean? You mad at me? Shit, I moved up in here with you to help you out with your bills. I'm serious. Like, this is the mentality. You know, the total self-centeredness of a child. That's what they talk about in the pamphlet. Right, that we stop growing up, we falter along the way. That's what they say, right? So it's like I can't even see that you're hurt. So you're retaliating, but all I can see is your retaliation. All I can see is you mad at me, you know what I mean? But like, if you know that I'm an addict, I'm going to use, so, you know, I got to cheat. And that's all I ever did. And then the resentment was that I fell into the justification saying that my mom and my dad cheated on my mom. So it's natural for me to think, and for natural for me to want to cheat. It's natural. So if I cheat on you, you should accept it. Accept it like my mom did back then. 30 years endurance of that pain and misery, right? I expected that stuff. And it's funny because my expectations lead me into this triangle. I expect you to do things that I'm not capable of yet. I put expectations on the relationship. I'll talk about relationship. You know, because the first relationship I ever had was with my sponsor, and I wasn't even faithful with that. I put expectation, you're going to be there for me. You're going to listen to me. If I need to call you at 3:00 in the morning, you're gonna pick up the phone. Right? But when it was reciprocal, I wasn't there. You know, so that led me into that obsession. Once we hit bottom clean, right? Once I hit bottom clean, I came face to face again with my addiction, all the lies, all the pretenses, all the justifications fell aside. I finally realized again, right, who and what I became. Clean. Without the crack, without the weed, without the alcohol. That's when I realized, okay, you know, I need to get some help. I can't do this by myself, right? I didn't want to smoke no more crack. Man. You know, walking around. Like, I remember walking. I mean, just the desire, like, that desire that kicks in, right? That churning in your gut that even if you don't want to use, you have no choice. You might as well just get up and troop it into the end of the night. I remember walking miles in rain and stuff like that. Shit, given, if I would have kept going, I'd probably been walking around on nubs without feet. Wore them down to the bone. Because you know how it is. You know, shit. We just keep going. Like the Energizer Bunny. You know? Man, like, what happened was that my sponsor started telling me, I need to have the application in my life. A step ain't a step until there's an application and you have some evidence, right? You ain't recovering until you start changing some ideas and attitudes. How the hell am I going to change attitudes by myself? Shit, I couldn't even stop using by myself. And even after I stopped using, I was like, okay, well, I know I'm powerless over my addiction, but I could take control of my life. And that didn't work. So how do I think I could change an idea and an attitude by my damn self? Shit. Suffer the pain of withdrawal. Suffer the pain of letting go, right? That control is impossible the moment it's suggested. Control. It was never there. It was an illusion to me. What happened was, I remember just applying honesty, right? I had issues in the past. This honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness that I was practicing to the best of my ability allowed me to accept that I'm an addict. I remember going to meetings, sharing about, you know, doing things for things. You know, if you don't know what that means, like, you know, and I always think that, like, if you prostituted yourself, you know, that'll make you gay. But shit, acts of addiction will make you do things that you don't want to do. Shit, so men do things. So it doesn't make you gay. It just makes you obsessed. You have a disease, right? From the first step, it tells us we need courage and perseverance to continue in this process. So I had to find the courage to get honest, man. Not even to y'all. I had to get honest with my damn self. I had to tell myself, all right, look, Danny. What else is there to do? What else is there to do? You can't use this. You can't use that. You feel empty. You have no self-respect. No self-worth. Your dignity is out the door. There's no integrity. What are we going to do now? Am I going to go back and lose and do the I never... All those I nevers, right? Or am I gonna really try this to the best of my ability? I got open-minded, right? And I started just, you know, my sponsor said, there's power in admitting your powerlessness. Right? I was like, what? I was like, I thought we were powerless, right? And it tells, and what he meant by that was to me to share where I'm at. Start getting out, like, just put it out there. Coming on the second step, I had to share and be honest about my belief about what a power greater can do. You know? I didn't believe that a power greater can restore me in certain areas. I was actually proud of some of the sick things that I was crazy about. I used to get a certain sense of satisfaction from y'all calling me crazy. There was a certain, like, I can't even really describe it. It was just a sense of security, like, you know, I'm okay. This is comfortable. I know how this feels. Man. The opposite of this triangle, right, is the love, acceptance, and faith. I didn't even get it. I'm just right now, with a little bit over 3 years, freaking, like, getting in touch with what faith means. Just scratching the surface. Because this stuff gets deep. It gets deep to me. I don't know about y'all, but man, they tell me about, well, we came to believe in a power greater than ourselves that could restore sanity. Through that belief, I can get some hope. And that hope would change my perception of how I view my life. That I don't have to no longer view the life as a hostile environment. That I need to get as grimy and as dirty as my perception of the world is in order to survive it. That hope changes my perspective from thinking that suicide is a good option. Because I know that, like, you know, when we're caught up in that grip, when we can't find anything to fill that void, that disease is upon us and telling us that we can use, because there's always an option. It's funny because I was sitting up here riding around, going to the mall. I got here early, and I was telling somebody, I was like, this is a miracle, man. It's a miracle, this process, right? Because like, having the ways and means, having money in the bank, having a car, having a place to rob, you know, all this stuff, right? And not using. Not using. Instead, getting up early in the morning to go somewhere to be of service. Staying late at night to talk to that newcomer. Because I'm still a newcomer. I need someone to stay on the phone with me for an extra minute and go to an extra meeting. Make that extra effort. Man. The love, man. I always thought I knew what love was. I remember at 17 years old, like, thinking that I was in love when I was just obsessed. Right? I let this girl do whatever she wanted to do. She wanted to be a stripper. Go ahead, do that. She made me pretend that I was her cousin so she could trick. Go ahead, do that. As long as you share your coke with me, we'd be all right. You know, I love you, babe. I love you. I didn't even love my damn self. I got to get with me first, right? If not, it's codependency. If not, I'm relying on you to make me feel whole, which is using. And then I fall into that resentment, fear, false evidence appearing real. Right? I need to find, like, thank God for the steps, because I would not be able to get out of that triangle self-obsession without a step. I remember this lady, Lisa H. from my area, she was sharing about, if you're in pain, you take a step. You get with the steps. If you're working a step, you're not recovering. Right? The hope, the freedom is in the steps. I remember reading throughout, even the Just for the Day, it says, just for the day, I'll be unafraid, right? It tells me to the best, working the program to the best of my ability. I just find out that I had to give it my best of my ability. Right? And it works for me like it's worked for countless others. You know, no longer I have to stay stuck on stupid and parked on dumb. You know, I don't have to allow the disease to rob me at crack point. Point that pipe at me and say, give me all you got. I ain't got to do that no more. And that's only through working the steps. And I'm not, like, I remember sharing that I'm drug free today, but I'm not drug proof. Because I have to always be vigilant. I have to always be mindful of where this disease will resurface. Because in the literature it says that disease always resurfaces. Always. Not sometimes. Always. It finds another area in your life that makes your life unmanageable. If I'm not relying on a power greater than me, turn it over my will. Self-will is like a reverse of the first foundation steps. You know, I came to, relied on self-will to make decisions to restore me back to insanity because I'm not powerless. Self-will is like, you know, the carpet. You just rip it underneath and you fall through. So I don't, like, man, and it goes deep, right? Because I'm like, I tried to quit smoking cigarettes. Just recently, I tried to quit drinking energy drinks. But I forgot that I have the disease, right? I minimize that stuff and tell myself that I can take control of that. That I can stop on myself. All I got to do is do this and that. I ain't got to apply a program to that. Right? And what happened was, I ended up smoking again. I ended up drinking more Red Bull. And then I ended up with the guilt and shame. Disease is always power greater than me. So I had to realize that, like, if I want to stop anything, I need a program. I felt that in my gut. I felt that in here, right? Because we get a spirit when we come up in here. We get a conscience. Keep working some steps. You get a conscience, a voice in the back of your head telling you when you're doing something wrong. Keeping you up at night past midnight. Right? You're trying to go to sleep. You got to wake up early. This conscience is like, what about that stuff? What about that stuff you shared at the meeting? Didn't you say you wanted to have more consistency? Didn't you want that emerging integrity they talked about in the third step? Why don't you call that person back they called you? Why don't you journal like you say you did? Why don't you read the literature that you just got off the phone and told your sponsor you just read? Because I still want to look good. I still want to look good. I still want that acceptance from my sponsor. I still want acceptance from y'all. I think I need y'all to validate who I am in order for me to accept myself. When it's vice versa. Man, it all starts with me, right inside. That's what, I guess that's what spirituality means. Looking from the inside, right? It's spiritual principles. Every time I heard that word spirit, I thought about religion. So far from the two. This program defends our right to just be spiritual, not religious. Defends it fiercely. Fiercely. You don't have to believe in God. All you got to do is believe in good or any direction. Right? And that direction comes from y'all. The first 13 months, I wasn't allowing myself to be sponsored by no one because of my ego was too big and my closed-mindedness was too thick. But what happens is the group sponsored me. Because through the pain and me not sharing, I heard other people share exactly where I was at. And I heard the hope that they found a way out. So the group had to sponsor me. When this group saw me go through something, they pulled me on that stuff. So then I switched home groups. You know, went somewhere else. And then I took my show on the road. You know, and I was like, let me go down to Reading and share this because they already heard this over here. And they're gonna be like, why don't you change? You know, why don't you surrender? You know, my concept of surrender was just merely giving up. I didn't understand that surrender meant accepting the program for the solution. You know, and I had to come to grips with that because all the times that I attempted to stop using that brought me to that anger, right, was because I resigned. I said, here's the sempipe, here's the baggies, let me throw that away with the best intentions. Telling myself, tomorrow I'm going to go to church, I'm going to repent, right? I'm going to find God again, right? Man, it's funny because, like, it's just easy to make you think that that's going to work. Denial is telling, is that denial is the part of the disease that tells us we don't have a disease. And denial runs deep. Shit. I remember, it goes deep. You know, I could convince myself that I did some shit that I never did. Out of denial. I remember sharing that, like, you know, I was there for my mom when my dad divorced. You know, and I wasn't. I was still being self-centered then. I remember looking at my mom, she's in tears, and I'm like, okay, well, who's going to buy me clothes now? You know? But then in my illusion, in the denial, in the confusion, in the cloudiness of active addiction, right, I'll convince myself that I was there and I got a job to help my mom pay the bills. I got a job because nobody else was giving me money. You know? That's the exact nature of it. But it's funny because the disease will make me think that's what I was doing. I had to stop using in order to get with some acceptance, some faith, some love. Right? As crazy as I was, I always came back to a meeting, even if I cursed somebody out, even if I violated some traditions, you know, and I came back and the people still gave me hugs. They accepted me for whatever condition I was in, whether I was thinking that I've arrived or when they knew that I was in pain and I couldn't find an answer, they still gave me a hug. That was my first realization that there's some type of affection going on here, you know, some love thing going on. You know, the faith was that I would see people that were just like me. Because I came up in here trying to separate myself. I was like, y'all, all y'all are older than me. There ain't enough Puerto Ricans in here. You know, shit, I kind of realized that I'm bisexual. So that's a way to, like, separate myself. I can't share that at a meeting. They won't understand. You know, I had came up in, like, you know, this Pentecostal religion and all this stuff like that, and like, they don't understand that I can't return back to that. I couldn't even go to a meeting in the church. I remember going to meetings in the church, and they had services upstairs, and I would sit there, and all I could focus on was my childhood memories about my resentments towards this religion that led me astray from this God of my understanding, right? And I didn't want to go back. I was like, I'm written off. I don't want to go back. I have a resentment towards you, God. And it was funny because I had to get with some faith about sharing how I felt about God to God. I had to get honest. I can't fake God out. You can't fake God out. God's going to know. Right? I can't be like, God, I love you. Please. Shit. The disease in the background, like, no, you don't. You don't. Why are you faking? Why are you fronting? Why are you fronting? This ain't working for you. I had to get honest, right? I had to share with God my resentments. I was like, you know, what happened? I thought you always had my back. Like, I tried everything and everyone to not be bisexual. I tried everything. Like, I was mad at society. I was mad at God. I was like, you know, I went up to altars and had him pray and put oil on my head and all that stuff and try to push me back and all that, you know. And it was just like, I was like, God, I really believed. Why am I still like this? Why are you allowing me to do this? Why can't you just take this away from me? Right? This is why I don't believe in you, God. If there is one. Because I had no faith. Right? What happened was that, like, I had to come to just the bare minimum. Good or resurrection. I can't complicate God. I can't. It's whatever force is keeping me clean. And right now, this program is what's keeping me clean. That spirit that I feel when someone shares from the heart, right? And I can feel it. My heart, like, goes like this. Right? And I can feel, like, something warm in my gut. That's my God. That's my God. That's my good or redirection, because what I'm hearing from them is a restoration back to sanity. Realizing I don't have to do the same things over and over again and expect different results, or think the results are worth it. Because that falls back into that hopelessness. That hopelessness that leads us into that self-obsession. Thinking that I, and from me to myself, the only way I could be happy, joyous and free, is by using. Because I'm an addict. It's hopelessness. Just utter hopeless. Same hopelessness that I was out there using with. Same hopelessness that strips my spirit back down to the empty shell that will lead me right back out to using. Because first I'll pick up the sex again. First I'll start cheating. First I'll start stealing. You know, it strips me away from the things that I thought I worked on. The things that I thought I surrendered and accepted a program for the solution. Right? It'll strip me back, put me right back to that state that, like, you know, it's all about me again. That the world does revolve around me. Not that it should, but that it does, right? Because whatever decision I make impacts the world, right? That's what I would tell myself. Right? I'm honest. You know? And it's like, it put me right back to that. Now, at the end of that road, after I've done using that stuff and I find out that it doesn't fill the void, I will think about the narcotic again. And it won't start with crack. It'll start with, let me just go to the club and drink a beer. Because I like to get my groove on, you know? I like to get my dance. And it's so funny because I always have to be vigilant. I always have to be mindful. It's like walking up a downward escalator. If I'm staying still, I'm not staying still, I'm regressing. If I'm complacent and I'm not striving to hold myself accountable and to a higher level of surrender, of the layers of denial, of layers of acceptance. If I'm not holding myself accountable and striving for a better life, I'm just going to regress. I'm going to regress. That'll lead me back to active addiction. I don't know what else to say. How much time I got? 10 minutes? All right, so I guess my time's up. And I thank you for listening. That's all I got.